Thanks for listening to The Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh my goodness, it's 10:46 and you haven't preached yet. Don't worry, I have a short 2-hour message. We'll get through it before you get. Are you ready to listen quickly? All right, here we go. But before I jump into the teaching, I got to tell you what I did when I graduated from Ferris State University. Are there any graduates of Ferris State in the room other than me? Yeah, that's right. Two of us. You two? Yes. Go Bulldogs. Yeah. I didn't know this, Jamie. How could I have not known this? Somebody say, go Bulldogs. After I graduated from Ferris State University, I went to Western Theological Seminary, but between graduation and embarking upon that master's program, I took 6 months to live with my folks down in rural Indiana, and I went to work for my uncle, Uncle Chauncey. Anybody else have an Uncle Chauncey? Uncle Chauncey, along with his son Mike, which was my cousin, that's how it works when your uncle has a son and it's cousin, right? So cousin Mike and I, along with my other cousin, remember my mom had 12 siblings, or was one of 12. My other cousin, Steve, the three of us, we decided to work for Uncle Chauncey and poured concrete walls. Yeah. And sometimes when church work gets tough, I long for those days for about 3 seconds. It's tough work. I remember one day, Uncle Chauncey put Mike in charge. Mike knew what he was doing. Steve kind of did. I certainly didn't. And Mike told Steve and I, to go and bring the picks, and I want you to tear down this packed clay so that we can, you know, arrange the place so the concrete wall can get poured. And so Steve, who'd been on the job a little longer than I had, came over to me, and he began, do you know what Steve did? This guy began to tell me how to use a pick. I'm like, come on. I mean, what did you think I was going to do? Just hold it at the end like this? And it, I mean, I knew for it to get power, you had to start up here and wha-bam! Somebody say wha-bam. I'm not stopping until you get loud. Good enough. I knew that you had to slide your hands down and you would hit it and boom, that's where the power came. I didn't need my cousin Steve to tell me this. Who did he think he is? He got the message that I didn't need his help. And so we went about our separate ways, and he's over there. And you know what I noticed? Steve is making much more progress than I am. So you know what I did? I tried harder. And as I'm trying harder, I remember what my dad used to tell me. You know what my dad used to tell me about trying harder? He would say, don't always work harder, work harder. So you know what I had to do? I had to go to old Steve and say, Steve, how come you're going faster than me? And he goes, well, you got half. Somebody say half. You got half of it down. You know how to swing it. You just don't know where to swing it. You see, what I was doing is I was hitting the back of it, you know, and trying to pull it all forward. What Steve taught me is in order to use your pick very well, you got to hit the front and just chip away slowly. And as you chip away slowly, sooner or later, you get to the back. I thought I could just take it all in one shot by going to the back. Huh. Sometimes knowing half is really not knowing anything. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. All right, well, we're in the Gospel of John. Surprise, right? If you're a visitor, we've been here for 17 months. We've been looking at the Gospel of John. Today, we're still in chapter 12, verse 33 and following. Jesus says in John chapter 12, verse 33 and following, he said this, what is this? To show the death that he was going to die. You remember 2 weeks ago, we took a break from the Gospel of John last week. 2 weeks ago, we looked at a time when Jesus told his followers that he was going to die and be lifted up. So when he's talking about being killed and lifted up on a cross, this is what he's talking about, to show them what type of death he was going to die. The crowd, I'm going to say, oh, the crowd. You know, I think people are stupider in a crowd. Do you agree? I'm going to say that again. And if you agree, nod your head loudly. People are stupider in a crowd. Who's more stupid in a crowd? That's the answer. I'm going to ask it again. Who's more stupid in a crowd?
People.
Are there any people in the house? Got you. See, it's not just people who are more stupid in a crowd or stupider. We tend to be more stupid in a crowd. It's hard sometimes to stand, you know, against what everybody else is saying. Well, here we go. The crowd spoke up. We've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. That's not in the Bible. I added that. We've heard from the law that the Messiah will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Let me say, Yeah, here's the deal. They were half right. There are a boatload of passages in the Old Testament that talk about the Messiah living forever and reigning forever. And so what they're saying is not untrue. The Messiah is going to reign forever. It does say that. But you know what? These people only knew half the truth. They were digging the hole from the back end instead of the front end, because there are actually more passages in their scriptures that talk about the need for the Messiah to suffer and to die for the sake of humanity. Somebody say, I've heard once that knowing half the story is really not knowing the story. They thought they knew, but they didn't know. And I think there are a couple things. Somebody say two. That's right. Two things that we can learn from these knuckleheads as they confront Jesus with their limited knowledge. We know that we can know and not know. Do you know? Let me say that again. I don't think you're tracking. I'll try to simplify my words. We know that we can know and not really know. Do you know? That's what these, thank you, Stephanie. See, these people, they had bits of knowledge. They understood part of the story, but they didn't understand the fuller story. They thought they knew everything, like a young knuckleheaded fella digging a hole next to his cousin Steve. And in reality, they knew nothing. Now, it's easier for us to pick on they, isn't it? It's fun for us to talk about them. Somebody say them. Them stupid guys back in those. They is us, really. Right? The people in the scriptures, they're not there to give us, you know, examples of what is an exception. They're there to give us an examples of human nature. The things they do is the same thing we're prone to do. We tend to think we know more than we actually know. I know two things about you. You guys know some things, but you don't know everything. And that's a problem when it comes to the things of faith. And these folks made an error. They missed the Messiah because they thought their limited knowledge was complete knowledge. I'm going to break it to you. You don't know as much today as you're going to know tomorrow. No amens on that one? You don't know as much today as you're going to know tomorrow. So here's what maybe you ought to do with the knowledge you do have today. I'm going to give you a little, this is going to be helpful for you. Somebody say thank you in advance. You're welcome. Because you don't know as much today, even about your faith, as you will tomorrow, today with the knowledge you do have, you better hold it loosely and you better walk humbly with it. If you approach your faith today like a 22-year-old Rob Link with a pickaxe in his hand, you're going to be making mistakes that you're going to have to go back and correct. So hold your knowledge with humility, understanding tomorrow you're going to know more than you know today. Well, that's one thing we can learn from these knuckleheads. And by calling them knuckleheads, I'm calling me a knucklehead because at times I am too. Have you guys seen that meme on Facebook where this woman says, "I got called pretty today." And then, you know, in print, pretty ugly, but I'm focusing on the positive, right? "I got called pretty today." They call me pretty ugly, but I'm just going to focus on the positive. There's some truth there. That picking apart part of the message and ignoring the other half of the message dilutes the message and actually gives you a false message. To understand the message, you got to take the whole thing and bring it to yourselves. To get the whole message, you got to take the whole message. So what these folks did is they took parts of the Old Testament, the Messiah will live forever, true, and they ignored all the other stuff. We cannot do that. The best commentary on the Bible, A commentary is a thing that speaks into another thing. The best commentary on the Bible is the Bible itself. So much damage has been done, so much trouble has been gotten into when people who follow Jesus, who love Jesus, take parts of the Bible and ignore the other parts. I'm going to break it to you. Jesus is not Republican. I've seen it all over our culture where people pull up parts of Scripture and they yes, he must be Republican. Everybody else is wrong. I'm going to break it to you. Jesus is not a Democrat. Now, you guys remember when I was talking about baptism and dedication and how Christians fought over such things? Literally, in church history, Christians have killed one another over dedicating or baptizing babies. Same thing with politics and Christianity. If we take parts of Scripture and ignore the rest to simply bolster what we already believe, I'm going to give you a deep theological word. Are you ready for a big theological word? If we take parts of Scripture and ignore the rest to bolster our understanding of what God is, here's that big word, we're just plain stupid. Don't do that. So much trouble has taken place in this world by claiming this text and ignoring these to simply bolster up our own beliefs, political and or otherwise. And then these guys said this. Who is the Son of Man? Now we know by the context of the language here, we know by the way the words are put together, that this is not a genuine, honest, seeking question. Good questions are good. That's why they're called good questions. Seeking understanding is phenomenal. Wondering and inquiring, God, I don't understand. That is absolutely great. In fact, we all ought to ask more questions because, as I've already established, we're going to know more tomorrow than we know today, and we'll know more tomorrow than we do today because we ask good, honest questions. This ain't one of them. This is a taunting question. This is a fighting question. This is a question where they're putting up their dukes and saying, who is the Son of Man? Jesus said the Son of Man, referencing himself, will be lifted up. And they're like, who is this Son of Man? You know, more people are turned off by the gospel of Jesus, by those who carry the gospel of Jesus, than Jesus himself. More people misrepresent Jesus. These were the godly people here. But the moment they were confronted with something that was outside their realm of understanding, they got belligerent and stupid. What was true then is true today. More people are turned away by that. You know when Jesus prayed in John 17, spoiler alert, we'll get there in 2020. Jesus calls, it's called the high priestly prayer of Jesus. He says, Father, I pray that they will be, anybody know what he prays? I pray that they will be. Some of you are saying one or united. No, he says, Father, I pray that they would be good arguers with one another. I pray that they would know how to reason with logic and belittle with sarcasm so that they can take down their fellow believer who disagrees with them. Amen. Amen. Next point. That's sarcasm. That's not, Jesus says, I pray that they may be one. And such questions, who is this Messiah? They're divisive. They're argumentative. And Jesus' response to their assault, their attack, it's beautiful. He told them, Jesus told them, verse 35, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. Whoever walks in the dark does not know where they're going. Believe in the light while you have the light so that you may become children of light. They were snarky. He was kind. They were attacking him, and he was trying to build them up. They wanted a fight, and Jesus withdrew from the fight. A friend of mine once told me recently when some things were coming my way that didn't feel good, and my natural inclination is to argue and to fight, he told me, you know the best way to win? You guys want to know the best way to win? Yeah. My friend said, the best way to win is not to play the game. I'm clapping for that too. That's good. Because if they would have confronted me, who is this Son of Man, man, I would have told them and I would have won the argument. And when you win the argument, you know what happens? Nobody wins the argument. You might walk away thinking, I have won the argument. But when you think you've won the argument, you might have won the verbal war, but you've lost the game. And so Jesus, when these people are wanting to argue and fight, he backs away and he doesn't even engage. And rather, he brings other levels of truth to them. Now, to be clear, Jesus ain't afraid of a little debate. He gets there once in a while, so it takes wisdom to know when. Somebody say wisdom. Ooh, but right now, Jesus says, no, it's more important for you to hear truth than for us to fight. They fought him, and he fought for them. There's something bigger than winning an argument theologically with your neighbor who disagrees with you. When they wanted to fight him, Jesus fought for them, and it's true for you, too. You might have all these questions and want to fight. I'm telling you, it's okay, ask your questions, but Jesus is for you. He is not against you. Yeah. Jesus calls himself the light here. Without him, there's darkness. Now, I have some hobbies. Anybody got any hobbies here? Yeah. Well, apparently, I have a hobby of traumatizing small children at baptisms. So sorry. One of my intentional hobbies, unintentional that one, is I love to go backpacking. You know, with everything you need for the week in a backpack, you say goodbye to civilization and you go. I'm thinking of a time when I was up in Canada. Any Canadians in the house? Woo! Hey, awesome! I love Canada. I go there regularly. Lake Superior Provincial Park. Have you ever been there? It's beautiful. Lake Superior Provincial Park up in Ontario has the tallest waterfall north of Niagara, this side of the Mississippi, and it's in the middle of nowhere. You have to hike 12 hours to get to it, and you see nobody, hopefully. There was one time I went up there with my friend Mike. Mike and I were, you know, we'd set up camp up top of this waterfall. You look down, it's beautiful. And if you hike down a little ways in the evening, you could watch the sunset while you're looking over the waterfall. It is phenomenal. We were going down there before the sunset. Therefore, the light was up. And Mike said to me, hey, do you have your headlamp? And I said to Mike, any guesses what I said? Similar to what I said to my cousin Steve. There's a pattern here. I don't need my headlamp. So we went down, we had a little fire, we're overlooking this waterfall, we're in the middle of nowhere, it's absolutely beautiful. Mike gets tired because he goes to bed early and gets up early like people did after the fall of Adam and Eve. Of course, I'm staying up late and it's pitch black. And I don't have my headlamp. And it's dark. And it's a 10-minute walk back to the tent. On the edge of the tallest waterfall north of Niagara. So I made my way, and I'm walking in the dark, wishing I had the light. Have you ever been walking in the dark, wishing you had light? And I was walking, and at one point, my foot slipped, and I kind of did one of these, and kind of fell over, and I pushed myself up, and I didn't think anything about it until the next morning when I walked back down, because I left my water bottle by the fireplace. I had almost fallen off the cliff to a sure death. That scares me just hearing that story. It's true. Walking in the darkness ain't nearly as good as walking in the light. Jesus says, walk in the light while you still have the light. Jesus went up to heaven, he came back to earth, and he came out. This is why we have the empty tomb behind me, because the empty tomb's better than the cross, right? I mean, what he did on the cross is great, but had he stayed in the tomb, so what? He came out of the tomb, and the tomb is alive. And because of that, Jesus is the light of the world. And he says, walk in the light. Some of you are walking in the dark and you need to come to the light, not because God's mad at you and keeping it. Just come to Jesus because he has light for you, and it's so much better to walk in the light. Now, it is better to walk in the light. That's a dramatic story. Here's a less dramatic story because some of you are traumatized. So Barkley is a black dog. Have you guys met Barkley? He likes hanging in the basement where our downstairs fridge is, where I keep some of my food. I was going down there the other night, and I said to myself, I don't need to turn the light on. One of us was sleeping on the floor, unseen to the other. And because the light was left off, and me, walked in the darkness, there were soon two people laying on the floor. Me and Barkley. And some of you are tripping over things you don't need to trip over. You're stumbling on things you don't need to stumble on. If you just flip on the light switch, and flipping on the light switch is saying, yes, Jesus, I surrender, I'm yours. Flip on the light switch and walking will be so much better. Now, to be clear, the cliffs are still there, the dog is still there, the obstacles are still there, but with Jesus, you're able to get through even when days are tough. Turn on the light and walk with Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, these guys made a couple mistakes. Let's revisit where we began. Like me digging a hole, they only had a half understanding. We can think we know without knowing, you know? And then they kind of eliminated the stuff they didn't like, and they went with just the stuff they did like. It's two mistakes people make when they come to faith in Jesus. I'm telling you, if you want to flip the switch on in the light room of your faith, become people who read the Word. This is shocking to some of you. You're allowed to read the Bible, not on Sunday morning. Repeat after me. It's true. And I know some of you are like, oh, I hate reading. The beauty of today is you can listen to the Bible while you drive to work. Become people of the Word. And you will find that the path is a bit more lit. Become people of the Word, whether you read or listen, and you will decide that there are less dogs to trip over. So become people of the Word, and you won't make the mistakes. Oh, you might make the mistakes, but that's okay, because God is gracious and compassionate. Amen. Slow to anger and rich in love. Amen. But maybe you make a few less mistakes. Become people of the Word. Become people who walk in the light. I had a beagle. Her name was Sam. She hated storms. And she had big floppy ears. And the word, come here, was Greek to her. She was a Hebrew dog. She had no idea what come here meant. And so Sam and I and my brother's black lab, Milo, he was a good dog, would often go for a walk in the woods, and all I would have to do is, come here, and Milo would bound all happy. And I felt like Sam was a cat at that moment. She would look at me, take it under advisement, and say, nah. And honestly, I kind of felt like that dog was giving me the doggy finger sometimes, you know? I'm like, that dog never came when I called her. So I was in ninth grade at the time, and I remember asking my dad's friend who trained dogs, how do we make Sam come when I call her? And he goes, well, what do you do when you call her? You know what I would, Sam! And say, what would Sam do? She'd either ignore me or go the other way. So you know what I did? Whew, I'm faster than Sam. I would chase after Sam. And after 3 hours, prove that I eventually was faster than Sam. The guy said, you know, if you want Sam to come to you, don't press her. Just call her name Sam and walk away. And I thought this guy was crazy. I didn't know what meth was in ninth grade, but I thought this guy was on meth. You're telling me to call my dog and walk away, and the dog who always runs away is going to come my way? And then he said this. He goes, in fact, even better, if you could hide from Sam, that would be better. See her, here I am, I'm Sam, boom, Sam's doing her own thing, give me the doggy finger as we've established, and I'd, Sam, and I'd walk around a tree and I would hide. Now, it wasn't a clear tree like this, so Sam couldn't see me. Sam! You know what happened every single time I did this? Every single time. Sam would look back. Where'd he go? Sam! He's over there. And when I give Sam space to come at her own pace, she came on her own. It took me some time. I wanted to get her now, but it took some time for Sam to learn to come to my voice, but I had to give her space. one quick text here before we go home. When Jesus had finished speaking, these people, they didn't understand him. They didn't get him. They weren't listening or receiving what he had to say. When Jesus finished speaking, he left and he hid himself from them. I think Jesus knows something about beagles. I think he knows something about humans. When we chase after humans, like I chased after Sam, they're just going to run away. When we try to make it happen, when we try to force them to come now, it ain't going to happen. But if we're patient and we walk away and just give them space and even hide, the Bible says Jesus hid from them. Sooner or later, people are going to be like, oh, Jesus, yeah. And they're going to come. So some of you have that friend you've been praying for years, or that son or that daughter who's wayward, or that mother or father who's gone, or that spouse who's just a knucklehead. I'm telling you, just pray and see what happens. Stop making the dog come to you. Walk away. Jesus walked away, and he hid.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.